lot younger, they were like, oh, you don't like this, come live with us. And I will.
Get out here and stay.
Okay.
Work out well for me, thank you.
We have five of us, six of us.
Four. One, two, three, four, five.
We're all here.
They're all here.
With the governance, Mr. Miles is here. That's roll call.
Cardinelli and Noel.
Oh, Cardinelli.
Cardinelli.
I don't count him.
And Javier might be here, so I haven't gotten.
I don't remember what he looks like.
Right.
Yeah, that was inappropriate.
True, but inappropriate.
Well, the minutes of the previous meeting, if everyone's had a chance to.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Kleski, seconded by Supervisor Poole. All those in favor, you the governance, aren't you? Many?
Aye.
Well, I really don't have a whole lot of comments. One thing I did do that I thought I would bring up, because sometimes you forget about what we did at budget time. If you remember at budget time, we had a chipper that the golf course was gonna buy. Parks was looking at one, and the one that they tested for Parks was just what we needed, but the money wasn't there, so what we did was take the one from Parks, move it over to golf. The two groups working together, and we got the one that we needed for the Parks Department. They tested this thing in the fall. It's got a winch. It's just a beautiful machine. It's a Premier. And I saw it at work then, and they had done in a day what they said would take them about 8 days usually. Well, the other day, with all this frozen stuff on the ground, I think it was yesterday, they went out, and hangers in the tree, where you'd usually have to take the loader out there, and three or four guys do all this, one guy hooking that winch on, yank it down off the tree, slide it up through the six snow right up to the truck, and it's just an amazing machine. So what was recommended to us is really working out. And, a good move by both departments. That's all I wanted to mention. Any other committee member? If not.
I do. I just want one thing.
Yeah.
Thanks to the roads. Clement, the signs at 117th Street and the stop sign that was plowed over, they were up very quickly after I had brought it up. So thank you very much. I'm sure everyone's very happy.
Okay.
Thank you.
And also wanted to thank Clement for putting up the engine brake signs that are in Wilmot there too. I saw those a couple days ago.
I think it's a local division, the local municipalities. The local municipalities put those up, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just say thank you.
Yeah,
right. So he wants to take credit, but he's shy away.
So he let him do it. So apparently, Clement puts the signs up, right? Makes the signs, makes the bird feeders, sweeps the floors. Jeez, he does it all.
Scares the coyotes.
And loses.
Coyotes don't come close to the building, too.
Next will be citizens' comments. I see no citizens. I see no one I don't recognize here, so citizens' comments will be closed. So we'll move on to, we'll begin with Dan with golf this month.
And golf, we're finalizing our 2019 business plan. It contains a range of initiatives designed to provide the framework for our continued success. We have all the leagues signed up for Petrifying Springs and in the afternoon is full, but we still do have some availability at Brightondale. We'll have over 420 league members just at Petrifying Springs this year. So, you know, again, it's a great weekly business that really helps us. And we're still working on signing up new golf outings for the year. So that's really our focus at this point. And, we've attended the Chicago Golf Show that was 2 weekends ago, the 22nd through the 24th, and we'll go to the Milwaukee Golf Show the 15th through the 17th. Chicago Golf Show was really, really busy. I mean, we handed out 3,750 coupons, and we were out by 2 o'clock on Sunday, you know, and so we were handing out yardage guides and scorecards and anything else we could get in their hands after that. So, you know, it was great to see the enthusiasm and the amount of people that, you know, really want to get out, and so hopefully that'll be a good signs of things to come. Our superintendent at Petrifying Springs, Laurie Stanek, retired after 32 years. Her last day was the 19th of February, so we have went out and found Ryan Rutherford, great guy. He's from Black Wolf Run. He's got 10 years of experience at Black Wolf Run. He was an assistant superintendent there, and he's looking for his first head superintendent position, and really has a good education behind him, really enthusiastic. I think he's going to be a great leader. You know, he's really looking forward to bringing him on board. He should bring great things to our maintenance crew at both Petrifying Springs and Brightdale. We'll be consulting with him with all of his knowledge and education for Brightdale too. So it'll be good having him on board. And I think he's going to start the 25th of March. So, and then we're getting ready to open. You know, I don't know. We always target opening of the greens on St. Patty's Day, but who knows if that's going to happen this year. You know, maybe
6 degrees out there.
Maybe last part of March. Right. So, yeah, we're going to prepare an opening day press release. We'll still have the white birch closed because of the renovation of those bunkers. We got the back nine done, but we did not get the front nine done. So we'll open the Blue Spruce first, then Petrifying Springs, and then we'll open the Red Pines and the white back. So we'll have 36 holes at Brightdale, and be working on that front until it clears up. And then, you know, weather dependent and demand dependent, and we'll open up the white front last. One thing about the practice range, it's the lowest area on the property, so it's always the last thing to open, where, you know, that's where people want to go because they haven't hit balls for so long. But there's nothing that we can do until we fix the drainage out there on the range in number one red. Projects that we're working on, getting great help from Doug from the Highways Department. He did a lot of work on preparing the engineering plan for the car path replacement at Petrifying Springs. So we're looking forward to doing that. We also had the master plan from Lohman Golf Design that they did, you know, way back in 2010, but there was features on there that were talking about moving some of the cart paths, just a few of them there, but that should really help out at Petrifying Springs, looking at the drainage and everything there when we do that. We have CK Contractors doing some brush cutting at Brightdale. I just took a ride today out on the golf course on 5 Blue and 4 Blue, and it's really making a big difference. I mean, they got this high revolution per minute skid steer with a fecon head, and they're just going in under all the big trees and grinding all the buckthorn and brush, and it really is going to make a difference. It's going to give us better pace of play, better mosquito control, better airflow, better turf conditions. Going to give us, you know, less disease on the golf course. So that's all going to be great about that. And then we're refreshing the clubhouses at both places, painting and cleaning and fixing everything up. We're ordering all of our supplies and equipment and merchandise for this year. Just putting a refresh on both golf shops and all the moving all the merchandise around and giving it a different look. And then we decided on a point of sale vendor, a cash register system. We're going to go with a Club Profit, and we're signing the contract, I believe, hopefully tomorrow on that. And we're going to need some new hardware, new equipment, the cash drawers, the credit card swipes, and the computers and monitors, but you know, it should be a real good upgrade for us, a better customer service, better inventory control, a lot of good positives that's going to be brought with the new POS system. So those are the things that are going on in golf right now.
When do you think we're going to finish the front nine of the white for the bunkers, roughly?
Yeah, I would say by May, you know, depending on weather. I mean, they said that they did some of the similar stuff at Geneva National last year, and they started in March, You know, we did have that 10 inches of snow in April last year, but, you know, they got it done by Memorial Day. So, and I think we're farther along than they were when they started there. So
obviously, if it's too wet, you don't have them out there with equipment and whatnot.
Correct.
On the drainage on the range, have you guys drawn up plans? Do you know what you want to do? I mean, is it just a matter of dropping in some drain tile?
No, it's more involved than that. I mean, it's... It is really a wet area. I mean, our pump, our lake is here, then there's that cofferdam, and then there's the pump house, and then there's the range after that. So there's a bunch of hydrology and things that we're studying to make sure that we can get that dried up out there. You know,
do we have to fill it at all, or is it just
moving
water?
Yeah, well, it's a... You know, in the master plan that we have, we're talking about moving the range a little bit anyway. We're talking about swinging it a little bit, and in that master plan, then we'll be addressing the drainage and put it when we put in the grass tee and everything. That's all part of the master plan that we have coming up in the future.
And then the POS system, is that already been purchased and you've been training on it? Or
no,
not yet. When is that taking place? Because you said we're going to open it 11 days.
I didn't say that. I said we always shoot for that. right, but well, we could start with the old system if we have to, and then we'll switch over during if we need to. But we're hoping to sign the contract tomorrow, and then, you know, we got to still purchase the hardware. We're going to get some iPads, and we're going to get the new computers and monitors and stuff, and then all that has to be configured, and then we can put it together. But we're targeting April 15th, the middle of April, you know, to have that new system up and running.
And you've sat and seen the functionality of the system, right?
Yes.
Is the learning curve steep or not very? I mean, a new employee or somebody that's never seen it, how long do you think it takes for them to become proficient at it?
I would say that it's going to be it's more intuitive than what we currently have. I think it's easier to learn than that. I would say that, you know, within about 2 or 3 days of training, that they should be.
Yeah, I don't mean to be an expert, but yeah. You're not, you know, pushing 10 when you meant to push 100. So
right.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, okay. we'll make sure, and that's the great thing about it. Everything's going to be pre-programmed, you know, so they're really not going to have a lot of control over the pricing or anything. I mean, just the money coming in and out, and we'll have managers there.
So there's nothing standing in your way of getting the things you need, including software and hardware right now?
No.
It's just a matter of cutting POs
and yep, getting it all put together.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair.
I just wanted to add a little something on the RFP selection team you had, too. You had both your pros from Pets and Brightondale sit on that as well, so they were part of the evaluation, in addition to IT folks as well.
Yeah.
And they felt that there was two real strong players, and you guys selected the one. So, yeah, like, you know, the software, everything's getting more intuitive and more, it's so much, this should be a big step forward.
Well, there's things like SAP, and then there's things like using Mac. One is very intuitive and easy, and one is counterintuitive and very
right.
difficult.
Oh, yeah.
So,
right.
That's what
so let's not talk sure. SAP.
Yeah.
Let's not
talk
SAP. Too many of those if they were SAP-ish.
Yeah, those terms. Yeah. They are.
Say
similar,
no more. Yeah.
Well, anything else for Dan? Thank you, Dan. If not, now we'll move to facilities. Mike.
On the ongoing project list, top one is the courthouse chiller replacement project. Work is on schedule and going well. This weekend they craned the chiller onto the roof and took all the old downward equipment off. That went off the hitch. On schedule to be done 4/19. Everything looks good on that one. The second project is the K-Cab heat pump replacement project. We received a base bid from Just Service at $171,000. Remember, the project was $150,000 budgeted. We took that and value engineered it down to $144,000, reducing it by $27,000. We did that by looking at replacement units or substitute ones. We didn't have to have a train unit. We ended up getting a climate master unit to take that down. Saved $22,000 on that, and then we're doing the air balancing for the project in-house instead of putting that on the GC. So we got it back in line by doing those things. We also accepted AdAlt to begin installing HVAC controls, capture some construction savings from the first floor or the third floor project that Frank is doing in the CE's area. That area has got to have The two secretaries moved out and all their furniture on Frank's project to do their work, and I'd have to have it done on my project too to replace four heat pumps up in the ceiling above them. So we're kind of sharing that and capturing it at the same time. So what it does is it moves, that's actually phase four on the third floor, but we're going to do four of those heat pumps right now just to capture that savings. To do that, the adults, both of those for that, come to $83,900, and we're going to pay for that out of the variable HVAC fund that we have set aside budget. Submittals have been sent in, and they've actually been approved today, so we're going ahead ordering the units. We're scheduling a pre-construction meeting for what we were going to do for early next week, but we're going to push it for 2 weeks because I'm on vacation. That's the heat pump project. Any questions on that one before I move on? It's a little more involved.
Yeah. So what's your value engineer that you mentioned not trained in climate?
Yes. We had originally set up the spec to use the train model as the basis for the units, and we have a lot of train equipment and it's replacing train. So that was what they were using in the beginning, but because it came in so high, we looked at other sources. Came up with this climate master.
Any reservations?
None
checked
none
into
whatsoever.
It.
Right.
They've been around for a little while.
Yep. All the contractors use them. So.
Reliability is there. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't expect it to last for 50 years, but don't want it to break every 5 years.
Exactly. That was our concern too, so we looked at that right away.
Great. That's great to hear. Thank you.
Next project is the PSB employee parking lot repaving. We had a pre-bid meeting on the 7th. Bids were due the 27th, and we're still in the midst of analyzing those. We've got some more information today, but I'm going to save that for the next month's meeting. Takes care of the ongoing list. The focus on energy list, there's only one thing to add. On the completed list, there is a value missing for the job center boiler replacement. We're waiting for annual savings figures. Took a while to get them in, but I finally got them for focus on energy. Annual savings on that project is $3,610 a year in energy dollars. That's it for that list. That's my reports.
Thank you, sir. Projects.
Mr. Chairman, the Anderson Art Center preservation project is proceeding. The basement asbestos remediation has been completed. The garage windows and shutters advanced through the restoration process. We received the DNR permit for drilling our geothermal wells, and that came in on February 14th, and we scheduled the geothermal well drilling team to come in on March 11th, the idea being we want to drill the wells while the ground is frozen so we don't tear up and have to fix as much as of the backyard of Anderson, saving us some money.
I do have a question on that geothermal. Do we get any special rebates or anything back from, We Energies?
We will get it back from We Energies. We're just a little, they said we will get it. The amount of money is still, they're not there yet. It's a customized, they want to look through all our engineering and everything,
right.
And then make sure we actually put it in the ground.
Okay.
But yes, we will be getting money back.
All right, thank you.
If no other questions, we'll go on to the Branch 1 courtroom renovation project. That's Judge Bastianelli. Stuckey Construction has scheduled the start date for construction as April 15th. Submittal process is nearing its completion. We're also coordinating construction with IT's supplier for the audiovisual system for the TVs and having everything plug into the laptops now that the lawyers bring in. So we're coordinating that with Stuckey Construction and AVI, and we're targeting completion of the project by June 10th. If no other questions, go on to the safety building. A shooting range project. The range was in use as of January 15th. We've got a few punch list items remaining, but the range is in use and the project is substantially completed. And just as a side note, both the police and sheriff are extraordinarily happy. It really is. I don't know if I mentioned it last
time. Is that a true statement or something I can think of? That would be a
I don't damn too.
That is an absolutely true statement.
So you guys are happy with Frank's work? You did okay on this one?
Yes.
Okay.
Not too bad. I think
you
I mentioned
pull our leg for a change.
I think I mentioned it last time, but it was so bad with the old range. They had a bunch of new officers in their training before they went to the state, and they wanted to get them trained before they went up there to qualify and everything, so they wouldn't fail up there, rather have them fail here. And I checked in because it was their first use and everything, and Tom Hamm from the police department said, this is great. He says, we don't have to stop shooting. And I'm like, what do you mean stop shooting? The old range, the airflow was so bad, if they had five, I think they had a class of like 12 people, they maybe had five people there shooting. The smoke would get so bad they'd have to stop with those five until the system caught up, and then they could continue until they finished, and the next five would start, and then they'd have to stop until the smoke cleared, and then continue, and the next ones. This system could keep up, so they got the five through, they got the next five through, they got the next two through, and they were all done. So yeah, it came out very well.
And Frank, I'd like to just touch on that. Through Joint Services, we took a tour last week.
Excellent.
And they just finished striping the floor, so Tom made sure we stepped over the painting. But just to see the facility and to hear the improvements and that rubber at the end that is going to hold all that lead, it's amazing. It's light.
It's very simple,
yes.
But it's very effective. Yeah, to look at it, you wouldn't think those little rubber pellets would be. And it's just a gravity feat. It's actually a fascinating, real simple. You know, the best things are the simplest things, and this is a real good example of that. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty simple
system. And with that system, I think it's like every 6 months, we've got a vacuum, and it's a company that's certified in lead and stuff like that. And they'll vacuum all of that stuff up, and the lead, just like gold, will be at the bottom. And they'll take that lead and then recycle it and actually saves us money. So it really is a great system.
If you grew up on a farm, until we got caught, our AMOW did the same thing.
Same concept. So if no other questions, we'll go on to the ceremonial courtroom restoration scoping project. The detailed current condition analysis was conducted from January 26th to February 8th. What that was they actually relocated the judge, and they had the courtroom scaffold, and they took out every single ceiling tile, and they documented every single piece of damage that was done to put in the HVAC, the plaster work that they just cut right through, or the murals up in the ceiling where they put the hangers for the ceiling, or the ductwork right through the murals and the stained glass. They actually poured concrete on top of the stained glass so that they could hang the grid work. So documented it all. They're putting it all together in a complete report so that they can give us better estimated costs for the restoration. They're working on that right now. And we actually, working with the architect and Matt, and Matt's grant writer, to explore sources of public and private grant funding. And I have to say, Matt and Nancy have been fantastic.
Yeah, we're really aggressively going to push that, obviously, because this is not going to be a cheap thing, and it's viewed differently by different folks, but that's why we want to aggressively push the grant aspect of this thing. We're really beating the bushes. And one of the most fascinating things I was telling the chairman is that there's a quote from Abraham Lincoln, and they've already done the research on it. It's from a speech. It's not like from the Emancipation Proclamation or Gettysburg Address. It's from a speech he made when he was 28 years old in 1838. And it's, I sent it, yeah, it's a fascinating, if the committee's interested, it's just, I never knew anything about this speech. Well, that is what is this quote that goes around the entire perimeter of that courtroom is what that thing is from. So we're gathering all this, they gathered all the information on all the artists and involved so we can identify foundations that might support some of these historic folks. And so we're doing an aggressive thing, and I'm hoping we're going to come up with a sizable chunk of change to help fund this, because it's an incredible piece of work. It really is. The whole ceiling is just incredible.
So now, stained glass is really a poor barrier to water. Considering this is on the ceiling and you want light to shine through, what's kind of the approach you guys are thinking?
That's the architect, who's a restoration specialist, Steve Marpolk, is actually reaching out to people that specialize in that area to figure out how to do it.
But the key thing is
skylight. Yeah, so above this.
Oh, okay.
yeah, right.
I'm
but
sorry.
The doghouse is what we call it, up above on the roof. It's kind of like a greenhouse, basically. That's really your exterior barrier. The other thing is a decorative feature of the ceiling. Yeah.
The pictures are really something.
Incredible. Yeah, really. The detail of the plaster and stuff. It's just. And then they found the original article in 1966 Kenosha News on when this was put in, too. Of course, they didn't focus on any of the stuff, you know, that was above. They just focused on, they were putting in a high efficiency at the time, air conditioning, and that was the focus of the article, and a state-of-the-art acoustic ceiling. Interesting.
Any questions for Frank? Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
We'll move on to Clement. Highways.
Yeah, I think I'll move the B to A so that
Well, either way, we got a sheriff. He's got a gun, and we got. either way, Clement, it's your call.
Okay. Okay, I'll stick to the plan. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Resolution to appoint Lieutenant Leroy Zerline.
Rory Zerline, yes.
To Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. He spent most of his career here in Kenosha County. When you look at his resume, he studied in California at Grossman College in Il Calhoun, California, and then he moved to Kenosha, and since then he's been working in the sheriff department and been climbing up the ranks. And he has a 5 years experience as a supervisor, 19 years in law enforcement. I think he's a good fit for this position, so I recommend the approval.
Is it deputy or lieutenant?
Lieutenant.
Yes. Lieutenant Zerline, are you sure you want to do this?
I am, yes.
All righty, motion to approve.
Second.
We have a by Supervisor Poole. All those in favor, do the governors.
Aye.
Ready?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. And Lieutenant Zerline is an accident investigator, which just adds to the strength of that committee. So we thank you for volunteering for this.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Great. And you don't have to stick around here.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Enjoy the weather.
Thank you all.
There's one question.
Sure.
On the accidents, do you think speed is more of a problem or is it drugs and alcohol?
Texting.
Yes.
I would say probably speed if I had to pick one of those. Alcohol or definitely a factor. Yeah, but I would say speed creates more problems on a whole, because a lot more people are speeding and drinking.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks again.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Resolution to approve the jurisdictional transfer agreement of a section of County Town Highway H from Kenosha County to the City of Kenosha. I'll yield the floor to Corporation Counsel.
Thank you. Good evening, Supervisors. I apologize that I was a little bit late. I was trying to clean up after dinner since my wife made it. So we don't really. Whoever cooks doesn't clean up, generally speaking. This may strike some of you as vaguely familiar, and that's because we actually did this as part of the budget resolution back in November. This is a transfer or an agreement to transfer the section of County Trunk Highway H from 52nd Street to 65th Street from the county to the city of Kenosha. We are going to be installing traffic signals at the intersection of H and 65th Street. And then 5 years after that is accomplished, we'll be transferring this section of roadway to the city. Again, we actually did approve this as part of the budget. However, the city, in its infinite wisdom, made a few tweaks to the agreement after we had done that. And although we probably could have gone forward, I thought discretion being the better part of valor, let's just go ahead and make sure that everyone is approving the same thing at the same time. Again, I don't think there's a lot of questions. It's something we've done. We're really just sort of redoing it in order to facilitate the city's schedule and the city's a couple of minor changes that were made in the agreement. So I would be asking for your support.
Yes, just to remind the committee, in the past, I haven't seen one that it wasn't supported by the highway department and the highway commissioner. This always saves us money, labor, time, and it gets snow piling off our table. It gets a whole lot off our table when we do this.
Joe, what were the minor changes?
There were two. The first one was dates. If you were to look at the actual agreement in section B1, where it talks about the transfer is effective 5 years after the county's installation of the traffic control signal lights. Initially, in A1 and B1, initially there was a date of sometime in 2022 or 23. It is now moot by virtue of the fact that we're not going to be installing the traffic signals until this summer. 5 years isn't going to happen until 2024. The city wanted to strike it because the city attorney said, well, if I leave it in there, my guys are going to say, why is this date in here? It doesn't make any sense. It's moot. But then fine. The other one
was just put in a time frame, right?
Exactly, right. It used to be saying whatever was the later of these two dates, we took the specific date out, and this would be 5 years after the installation is complete. The other one was that the one that was passed as part of the budget made reference to two exhibits because I thought that there was going to be a separate map and legal description. The city, again in its infinite wisdom, combined them into one. And he said, well, there's only one exhibit now rather than two. Fine. We will repass it then. So those are the only changes that are made from the one that you passed back in November.
Thank you. I'll make a motion to approve.
Second by Supervisor Frankel.
Yep. Just discussion. So, not to say that it won't save us money, but it's kind of a strange strip of roadway here that'll go into the city. What was the original driving force behind this getting, I won't say, annexed more or less by the city?
Well, interesting that you say that. All of the land we were looking at a couple of different possibilities. The city was interested in having this traffic signal go in. We were looking to see what we might be able to do to help accommodate that. Initially, there was some discussion of going, I think it was 60th Street to 75th Street. Problem there is that there are portions of that land underneath the roadway that are actually in the village of Pleasant Prairie. We had some initial conversations, but ultimately couldn't reach an agreement on bringing all of that land into the city. In order for them to accept jurisdiction, they have to have all of the land within the city limits. Going the other direction, you have land that's currently in the town of Summers, but it's all land under the existing boundary agreement that's going to come into the city anyways. So all this is doing is accelerating the time frame that it's going to come into the city.
So eventually we'll move further north up to what, do you think, 142 would be in the city? Because right now if you're stopping at 52nd Street.
I think that's going to be the eventual.
Close to that, yeah.
That would be the eventual.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other thing is, and plowing, because that was the other thing that came to mind, is, you know, it's kind of a strange place to stop at 65th, but Does that create? You guys have some big rigs.
So we talked about that.
Yeah, generally at the beginning of any plowing season, we meet with the city and we can swap sections based on how the plowing route makes sense. Like sometimes when we saw they plow section of maybe County Trunk Highway G right now, and then we plow one other section of the city around the frontage roads, okay. Those kind of things. So we
trade and swap.
Trade, okay. Exactly. Right. And we usually have that meeting around November, okay. Getting before the snow really starts flying out.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, the motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, you can governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Okay, the next one is ordinance to lower the speed limit for trucks from 55 miles per hour to 45 miles per hour on County Trunk Highway A from East Frontage Road to County Trunk Highway H. If you take a close look, it's almost a year where we had this speeding request study completed. The reason being that when they requested for the speed limit, we didn't have the truck traffic because of the construction in the area, because of development in the area. So when we did the first traffic count, we realized that it didn't meet requirements or it didn't warrant the reduction of the speed limit. However, we also recognized the fact that it was done a little bit premature in the sense that the truck traffics were not there at the time. So we kept on delaying and delaying. That's just explained why it's this late. So when we did it with the truck traffic, based on the truck traffic counts and the other road users like heavy duty equipment from the farms, it just makes sense that we should lower the speed limits for those heavy equipment, because generally when the challenge is always when the equipment is trying to exit or get into the farmlands and the truck is either behind or the truck is on A and they're trying to exit, and so those kind of conflicts usually can be mitigated by lowering the speed limit. And so that was where the warrants for lowering the speed limit for the trucks came into place. But the data did not show or indicate that we should lower the speed limit for passenger vehicles.
So. Motion to approve.
Second.
Move and seconded to approve change in
traffic speed limit. Just so every opinion that I have heard from constituents in that area is since my district, and it's, you know, if it's 55, that means you're doing 60, 65, and like Glenn had mentioned, you know, some of it's big equipment, and there's just the volume of people out there are just not used to it. So this will at least help. So maybe they'll do 50 or 55 versus 45, or versus 65. So I support this wholeheartedly. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn.
So, move and seconded. You the governors?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye. Aye.
The next one is an ordinance to lower the speed limit from 55 to 35, County Trunk Highway A, State Trunk 142 to County Trunk Highway D. Again, this is when we did the study for this segment, we are actually studying from State Trunk Highway. I mean State Trunk Highway 142 all the way to the frontage road, and the geometrics for this piece, this segment of County Trunk Highway A actually warranted lowering the speed limit for two reasons: the curves and the number of roads, the number of houses fronting the roads, and the crash data also supported the fact that for this section it would be wise to reduce the speed limit to 35. And so staff is recommending that the speed limit for this section be lowered to 35.
And just for the committee's benefit, I was contacted also by constituents out there, and there was actually a petition with I think about 20 or 25 names on it of the people that live along the section of A. It's got a blind curve to it, a lot of tire marks from locking up the brakes, near accidents, concerns of people, you know, exiting their driveways, so I wholeheartedly, and thank you again, Clement, because the people out there will be delighted, and that one lady will be ecstatic, so I support it wholeheartedly and would ask for your support also. Motion to approve.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Dorgan. Any other discussion? If not, you the governors?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
So, going on to divisional report. I wrote it here, but I just think that it's some sort of redundancy to state that we had frigid temperatures because we are going through one right now. And numerous events. However, it's just in place that we should sort of set them out for report and for recording that it was very frigid during February and numerous snow events. Just according to the National Weather Service, Kenosha County recorded 32.6 inches of snow accumulation from January 1st to February 28th. I think to me it looks a lot, but when I was talking to Ray told me that, well, there's a section in up north that had 6 feet, and then I rest my case. So there's also the weather severity has also increased. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, their weather severity shows that the severity in Kenosha County has increased 20%. I know I have here 17%, but I just have the most up-to-date severity map, which I would like to share, so that you kind of see how it fluctuates in the state. So Kenosha is right now is a 20% as increase in the severity rating compared to statewide average. That's not. And the severity is also reflected on our salt usage. As of today, I think we've used more than 6,500 tons, because here it says 6,480, but we had some flurry on Sunday night. And so I'm very sure that we have used more than what we actually used last year. And if this trend continues, well, hopefully that as we are in March now, that might, we are hoping that we are done with the snow or this inclement weather. But if the trend continues, then I just want to caution that I will be seeking help for extra funds to get more salt. Apart from snow plowing, we keep on doing our general maintenance operation that includes shouldering, brushing, dishing, and pothole repairs and crack sealing. Anybody have questions on that? Project updates, county projects. County Trunk Highway S, phase one. The right-of-way acquisition is in progress, it's ongoing, and projected completion date for all property acquisition is June of 2019, with racing demolition targeted to begin approximately April of 2019. The start of construction is still on schedule for spring of 2020. On phase two, the real estate acquisition is roughly 90%. I would say a little bit higher than that, but I would just leave it at 90% complete for this phase of the project. The county has successfully acquired 12 properties out of 16. There's four properties that have been we've been having some challenges to acquire, but the county is seriously engaged in legal negotiations to acquire the remaining four full phase of acquisition. Last week, the county board chairman, the director of public works, and the highway commissioner met with the real estate consultant regarding complaints of unfair treatment from some constituents that were relocated or are still in the relocation process. The complaints were presented in the last county board meeting, and the board chairman and the Department of Public Works laid out the county's expectations and reminded the real estate consultant to abide by the county's expectation. The raising of acquired properties is in progress and on schedule. 8 out of the 15 properties have been raised, and the project is still on schedule for spring 2000 start of construction, 2020 start of construction. County Trunk Highway F, Ellie.
So in phase one, do we have any relocations required for the phase one, which is 31 days?
Yes.
Is it just right of ways?
Yes, as of today, we completed 8 out of 11.
Right-of-ways or complete relocations?
Complete relocations.
Okay. And has phase one been going smoother than phase two with regards to single source?
I'd say it's taking the same trend. By this time with phase two, everything was good until towards the end, then we started having some issues.
Yeah, and there's still...
So I don't know, maybe we might have issues towards the end. I would be able to tell.
And that's not my district, so I don't know. I know too, it's been an issue. I know you guys are taking some steps to address that, which is I'm very happy to hear. Although, given the 90-day relocation, right, would have been March 1st, so probably June 1st isn't going to probably occur.
Yeah, I know that. I know that there was. We got a note this morning, actually, that on the one property, the one that you were most intimate with, that they reached agreement on a price for the property, and now they have to work out the relocation aspect of things. So, yeah, and I saw a note from the chairman actually this afternoon as well from that individual, and even though he's making some efforts now to kind of sort out what he's going to do, he's going to be challenged to meet the deadlines that are in place. But
I'm no expert on this relocation activity, but apparently the law states he has 90 days to relocate. He hasn't even closed yet.
Right.
So just keep that in mind for your project schedule.
Yeah.
He has those 90. Not so that he needs to take them or will take them.
Right.
But he has every right to take them.
Absolutely.
And there's others that haven't even closed yet. So I don't think it's going to derail your project, right? But I think it will continue to work through that.
Yep. That's really, the lawyers are working it out, and it's
that's not always a good thing.
It's starting to take.
Well, anytime you do a project like this, you're going to have one or two problems.
Yeah.
And some people walk into Walgreens and can't pick out what pain reliever to get. This guy has had ample time, because I've gone through all this too, to do all these things, and he's one of these people that has trouble. You know, and some people have trouble at the grocery store. It's not going to be something.
We're making progress.
Right. County Trunk Highway F realignment project. Early real estate acquisition is ongoing for this project. The county is still in discussions with the town of Randall, the village of Twin Lakes, to identify potential actions related to adjacent properties that could optimize project benefits for all stakeholders. We will keep the committee informed of all these discussions. The project is still on schedule for construction in spring of 2020.
Yeah, just an update. I got a note from Aaron Carroll today, actually, that he's going to try to meet with the other family member this week. And then as soon as we get that, we'll reschedule another meeting. And we'll include Mr. Graber as well.
So yeah,
kind of
sent me an email.
He was
even if it's just me just sitting back and just listening or, whatever.
If we can get everybody on board with it so that we can do this, it's going to be in everybody's best interest. So it'll be a good thing. I think we're in a good spot. We just need to keep working.
Did we close on that one property?
One property has been closed.
One property has been closed. The other property, they're struggling to get a comparable for its property.
Something that
his price is not a problem, but the comparable, to get that comparable, is because his house is a little bit unique. And so to find something that really matches it is hard. And then anything that close is very close to what looks like it.
Yeah.
So it's way more expensive than his property. So we're working through all the nuances, and we'll see what we'll get some solution. It's just a matter of
time. That's a little barn.
Right, I think the guy on the north side.
No, the south side.
South side? Okay.
On the south side. Yeah.
It's not, yes, on the south side. Yeah. South side on the southeast corner of
that
LP and F and O.
Yeah.
And Ray, I thought you said that you thought there was also a relocating issue there too.
Right, I think it's going to be part of the equation for that.
Okay.
That landowner. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, but he's he has no issue. His only concern is he wants to be relocated and make sure that his present condition in terms of mortgage payment or how much he's owed and stays the same. He doesn't want to add more. He doesn't want to reduce. So it's a little bit challenging to find that. Mm-hmm. That's probably what. County Trunk Highway K from County Trunk Highway H to the CP Railroad. There has been a change of schedule on this project because the county is working with the city to determine how best to accomplish constructing the section of County Trunk Highway K from the UP Railroad to CP Railroad tracks, that is, section between the tracks. And the section between the tracks was not part of our project. And they're trying to see how we could merge both projects and do it at the same time. The city and the county have been working behind the scene, some stormwater management issues as well, and hopefully we've got a meeting scheduled for Thursday to meet with the city to look into the stormwater to come up with possible solutions. So hopefully by the end of the month, I think we'll know exactly which direction we're heading. But as of now, to the best of my ability, I don't think construction will happen this year. We might have design, and we also have serious issue with utility relocations. So we're going to put a slow down and tackle the design and all the utility relocation, and then hopefully next year we come and we do a clean construction and get out of the way. Other potential developments. There are a number of other potential commercial development projects that are in the initial phases of discussion with the county, giving potential impacts on transportation infrastructure. They are just numerous all over the place, but we're trying to sort them out, but they will have some impacts on transportation. Because of this, the tenuous nature of the stage, the tenuous nature and the stage of development of these projects, there is not much information we can publicly share at this point, but if the viability of these projects advances, we'll definitely bring feedback to the committee.
There's a lot of speculation of going on in a number of areas within the county right now, as there has been for really the past probably 18 months. Some of these things get all excited and then they melt away. Other things get excited and they actually come to fruition. So there's a number of things that he's getting requests for as part of traffic impact analysis studies because of potential access to certain roads and things like that. He needs to provide feedback, and he's starting, we've got a few of those bigger projects in the works right now. Don't know whether they're going to happen or not. We're just going to provide the information for the traffic impact analysis studies they need to put together. We'll kind of see where things go.
Foxconn County Trunk Highway KR Enhancement Project. Yeah, the design is progressing and is on schedule for construction to start in the spring of 2020. Sorry, I think this spring of 2020 is a little bit early. It's actually going to be fall of 2020, per our last meeting. So. I'll have to revise the schedule. It's not going to be spring, it's going to be late of next year. And so, public hearing was, again, this report was written before most of the things were happening, so I'll just go ahead and digress a little bit. So we had a public hearing last Thursday, February 28th. There were about 150 people who attended. Some of them raised their concerns. Majority of the people who had their major concerns, some of them didn't even bother to show up because most of their concerns were taken care of. The few that came, so it's, I had a very different day compared to the last time. They were thanking me of, oh, thank you for listening and thanking you for making this thing happen. Oh, yeah, sure. I said, oh, I had to tell them this. And I told them that this, it can happen. So took all the credit, man. Because I took all the beating the first time. So I had to take the
credit.
Yeah, so a few of them came with some concern about the real estate issues that we are working. We're going to work on the details later. Because we had conflicting information. Other than that, I think that it was just the same concern that people had. Some people are for the project, some people are against. And so those who are against give their views against the project, what they don't like about the project. Those who are for, that's the part I didn't like, they were too quiet, they didn't say anything. So only those who had problems were just going and saying what they want. So, but on the whole, I think it was a very good meeting, and Ray was there, I think. I don't know what I should
say. The only thing that I would add is that we will be in April bringing the same relocation plan authorization for that KR project for us. We won't have any full takes on our side of the of KR. Racine has
five,
is that what it is, on their side? We won't have any, but to just be consistent with what they're doing and what we're doing, we still want to have our thing in place that gives us kind of the official board authorization to go ahead, even though it's just going to be right-of-way acquisition on our side of the table. So we're going to bring that in April. I just want to give everybody a heads up. That should be, theoretically, hopefully, our last one of these things for quite a while.
And what we're doing is exactly the same thing we seem to be doing on this side. So. I-94 Street, of course, the closure is still the same. They keep changing it without telling us, so I don't even know whether this closure thing is. I requested for the most up-to-date closure, long-term closure, and they said, well, they just work with the weather. So, but again, this is supposed to be the long-term closure. It's a little bit tricky with the snow, so because some grounds are closed now when they were not supposed to be closed, but they are closed because of challenges that they have because of the weather.
And I saw, Clement, I don't know if you got to see it, they just sent an update this afternoon that stretch, the curve by just south of Ryan Road where 27th Street splits off, mm-hmm. because they're having more issues there because of the severe cold, it's causing blow-ups. So I think they've closed down, they've lost another lane or something right now because of some concern. That's been an ongoing area.
They've been shutting them down like on Sunday nights and doing work, right?
Yes, that's typically when they do. Yeah. So I don't know if they've got it shut down now in anticipation of problems or they're doing it because there's actually some problems in the pay. I can get that from the email.
Highway 20 on ramp is closed. Highway 20 southbound on ramp is completely closed. I didn't get the gist why it was closed, but I noticed it after our public information meeting. I went down that side, and then I realized I couldn't come on ramp on the south, so I had to drive the other way. So those are some of the changes that are happening. Again, it's construction. To be fair on them, you know, things happen, and you just have to adjust. That's all I have for tonight.
Thank you, Father. Now,
first. Hey, Mr. Chairman. First thing in front of you this evening is a resolution, and this is a pretty straightforward one, resolution to apply for We Energy's permanent easement in Petrifying Springs Park. There's a couple maps attached to this resolution document. But if you remember from a year and a half ago, we actually removed one of the barns within the Petrifying Springs maintenance shop area, which is considered the South Barn. And that was like the main hub where all the electrical services were for that vicinity. So that happened, that was a success. And now we have that main artery within the park off to the side. Using that main artery, they need to tap into that in order to create a new connection to our restroom number 5. Right now that restroom only has about 20 amp service to it. So we're planning on doing some upgrades to that facility, but can't do anything with even hand dryers how it stands right now. So We Energy needs this easement for us to do our own internal upgrades to that facility.
Okay. question. So we need a motion for this one.
Motion approved.
Second.
Kliske, second by Supervisor Juhas. All those in favor, youth and governance?
Aye.
Ready?
Aye.
All right. Then, just for the division report. First thing on the division report, Boundless Adventures, is to keep the committee in the loop. We Energies on this project completed a new service to Boundless Adventures. That new service was paid through Boundless Adventures, so no cost to the county. Substantial completion was done on the tree pruning and hazardous tree removal throughout their premises. And work continues with the cables and platform installation. They're going to be returning tomorrow. They have a small work crew throughout the whole entire country that builds these aerial adventure parks. And they finish about 50 of these platforms that are attached to utility poles or the trees within the canopy. They have about another 60 to accomplish. So they hope to do that within the next week or so. So they're lean and mean, and they really go out there and accomplish quite a bit within a 1 week period. So within each month, you'll see substantial improvements to that project. Next item is Bristol Woods Parkway reconstruction. Last month, we said that we were continuing to work with the apparent low bidder, and this month is no different. Those bids did come back a little higher than expected, and tomorrow we're going to be having another meeting with that contractor to determine if that project can move forward. We are making headway with some single line items that just make sense to just remove from that total project. But now we're on to the earthwork part of that. So that's just a little bit more energy that needs to be spent to make sure that we're fair to the contractor, but we can get this our necessary value added project done. So hopefully we have more news on that reconstruction project next month. As far as the Pike River restoration, enhanced shop bluff stabilization, that bid was awarded to DK Contractors. The pre-construction meeting was held on the 27th, and we since then have received DNR authorization to move forward with that project. So DK has mobilized on site. We have a construction meeting tomorrow just because they're doing some preliminary investigating, but no work, construction work has started yet, but that should begin probably this week, and it'll only take about 2 weeks max for them to restore that shop bluff area. Moving on to the Pike River Restoration Phase 1 update. The county attended a notice of violation meeting with the DNR on the 26th of February. That NOV meeting reviewed permit violations by the contractor, consultant, and county. And then after the meeting, now it's going to be up to the DNR to review those, all of our documents and testimonials to determine appropriate courses of action to all parties. So I think I've been trying to be transparent with our struggles with our contractor from this Pike River project throughout the construction season. It's supposed to be a 3 month project. We all know that it took over twice as much, and it's still not done with that project. But obviously there was a lot of lessons learned on all parties. The DNR did have to step in. We don't know if there's going to be penalties to the county at this point, but it's on the table. So we have to, hopefully they understand that we're doing this for the greater good for our environment, and they take that into consideration. But it'll take them probably a few months to collect all this information and come back with what the results are, if any.
Is it all based on it not being completed?
No, it has more to do with permit violations. So we being the county, have to go to the DNR for a melody of permits. This was from the Army Corps of Engineers, from the federal level, the state agencies, county oversight. And some of those permits, they consider individual permits, but then there's ones directly associated to the county that we should be managing. So even if the contractor isn't doing what they should be, it still falls onto us, unfortunately. The biggest one for the county's sake was erosion, that they completely cleared the site, and then they started grubbing, where they actually started taking the material and going into the ground in order to remove stumps and such. And because the earth was disturbed in a long section, the contractor did not put erosion control measures in place and did not follow that permit per the specification. Well, unfortunately, on the county's standpoint, we're still the owner of those permits no matter what that contractor does. So we have definitely skin in the game with those things. So
how do we ensure that doesn't happen again?
That's definitely what Ray and I talked about with lessons learned.
So what? This is an interesting process. This is our first time doing a river restoration project. We haven't done that.
Perhaps our last.
Well, it'll be a multi-phase thing, but I think the DNR recognizes that what we're trying to do is the correct thing and the best thing, really, going forward. It will help with all the stormwater management issues that are up in the Summers area. This will be a big thing when we get it done. But our first foray into this was, let's say, clunky. And so the thing that we did, I think, that impressed the tribunal that we went in front of last Tuesday is when we had this, was that what they were going to ask us, we had already done that internal root cause analysis and lessons learned. We had already initiated those things, and I don't think that's typically what happens. And so when we did that and we said that, we kind of laid that out in our opening statements, they were like, oh, okay, we were going to do that, but you guys kind of did that already, so let's review that. And when we determined what we determined to be the cause, the root cause of this, which really, it always boils down to communication issues, is that the DNR should have been sitting at the table with us when we had our pre-construction meeting, and that wasn't the case. Now, that wasn't it's not like that's the silver bullet, but that was probably the lion's share. If we would have had them sitting at the table, everybody's expectation and understanding of what they needed to do would have been mapped out right then and there. So we came to that conclusion, and we laid that out in our opening statements, and then the administrative judge, or whatever his title was, he said, okay, we'll get into that in a little bit. Well, then when we got to that part in their presentation, that's what they came up with too. So I think it bode well from us that we recognize that we didn't have a handle on what we should have had for this type of a thing, but it was our first time with it. And they came up to us afterwards, some of the board, and said, hey, we really want you guys to do that. You know, this is a positive thing. We really want this to be successful. So we'll see. We have to provide them with some additional information. The contractor does, the engineering consultant does, as well as us, by March 12th. And then they're going to plug that into the equation and see where it goes.
So basically, it was a bit of ignorance on our part of not knowing what we should be doing.
There was one key piece was that on the one set of permits, basically when they're issued to us, the DNR kind of backs out. They've delegated that authority, that enforcement authority, to us. And we didn't realize that. It's kind of unique to this type of permit. We never had this permit before. So now that we've learned this, it's part of the process going forward. So
it's well documented. It'll be taught throughout. And then any new type of permit that we haven't had before.
Right. We're going to go through the process so that we understand. It's the root cause and CAPA. Basically, I brought up CAPA to the corrective action, preventive action.
We don't use preventive action anymore, so I'm correct.
Clear and obvious.
In industry, we don't call preventive.
In medical, you do.
Yeah, that's true.
You have CAPAs and scars.
Yes.
In all reality, how bad was this thing? It wasn't that bad. It's the DNR going overboard, like they always do. Just to make things expensive and difficult.
This one,
we had trouble. Mud lines eroded away. Seriously?
I don't think there was any, let's say, irreparable damage done to anything,
so
okay?
Either.
But we did struggle with this contractor right from the get-go.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual damage that you guys are trying to make you look as though, oh, my God. The salmon population has been wiped out, like whatever. This contractor not the best. We learned some things off of it, but this going for a board of review, oh my God, just a waste of money. That's really unfortunate, you guys. That's exactly what it is, which is unfortunate, because you are doing the right thing. I mean, we really are trying to help.
The stormwater,
water control,
the watershed.
Control, right?
But the DNR on their part, they want to help us, but I think that they were surprised that they weren't included on that pre-con meeting. So it would have been a lot easier process that we could have probably held that contractor more accountable by the use of the DNR if they would have been involved in the kickoff.
Turned us around, why the DNR insist on being at that meeting as well?
Well, they did. That was on us.
Really? Yeah. They insisted on being there and you told them no?
No, it was It was my fault that I didn't invite him.
Yeah,
but again, lessons learned on that one. So
okay.
All right, to come, but hopefully, if we get spanked, it'll be a minimal spanking. That's kind of what we're figuring.
Right. So if there's no other questions on that one, moving on to the Pets Building and Ball Field project. So Rash Construction Engineering was awarded this bid for that project. We're just waiting for a few additional, I'm going to call them standard forms back for the insurance and bond documents. But the PO was released for that project. So they're actually looking at moving forward with this project, I'd say, in a few weeks with starting to mobilize. So as soon as that ground thaws, they'll be able to get in there and start on some preparatory work for it. So more to come on that project. As far as parks personnel, our park superintendent, Joe Rancho, he's the East End superintendent. He's going to be retiring coming April 12th of this 19. So Joe has worked for the county for over 42 years. So a couple weeks ago, we posted for a new replacement superintendent because his time is coming to an end. As far as the West End Park Maintenance Crew Leader, we have a new hire. John Olson has accepted the Parks Maintenance Crew Leader position, and starting mid-March. John actually came from Highway Division, and 2 years he spent over on highways, but he has 30 plus years in the landscaping business. So, yeah, he had a remarkable interview, so we're excited to have him too. Very well-rounded. And then as far as the Pringle Naturalist, the Nature Center, they actually did finalize their interviews, and I think Supervisor Rojas does know this. Elizabeth McCohen was their choice for a new naturalist for the Pringle Nature Center. Very impressive resume. She's actually going for a PhD right now with natural resources. So I think we got a gem of a naturalist. I'm going to actually meet her for the first time in the next few weeks here and just kind of explain our philosophy, our goals, our mission, make sure from the get-go that we have a great working relationship with the new naturalists coming in there. But I think we're going to see a lot of positive changes out of Pringle Nature Center in this new hire. So I'm very excited about her coming aboard. UW Parkside cross-country ski trails. They call themselves the Parkside Community Nordic Skiers, and they fundraised approximately $8,000 for Kenosha County to purchase a snowmobile. So not only did they purchase an asset to be owned by Kenosha County, but we have their volunteers that are actually going to be grooming, and they have been grooming this winter, all the cross-country ski trails over on Parkside property. And hopefully we can get that trail not only well-groomed and manicured, but have a whole entire cross-country ski network between Pets and UW Parkside. So that was a great collaborative effort between volunteers in the county.
So on this one, so these trails will traverse between Parkside and Pets?
And
is that why we're involved?
And they're mainly right now on UW Parkside property. And just the history of, we used to own a snowmobile through Kenosha County. It was purchased and owned for years. I couldn't even tell you how old this thing was, but it was no longer serviceable. So back when John Rudy was director, he said, that's it, we're going to auction this thing off, and we're not going to purchase a new one, because the majority of those trails to be groomed were on Parkside property. So we didn't want to purchase a county asset to be used on there. But we still wanted to provide something to the community. So that's why we collaborated with these volunteers that, hey, if you purchase it, we'll take care of it, we'll store it for you. And then they have an agreement with Parkside that they can use this piece of equipment on their property.
So that's all established.
Mm-hmm. Yep, through agreements.
And did we kick in a little bit for this machine, or did it cost $7,000?
That's the no county money was used for it.
Maintenance,
maybe.
We own a groomer that goes behind it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Two little ski parks.
Oh, that's all it is.
Pretty cool. Not very high tech either.
Which is probably a good thing for something like that. And then finally, UW Parkside Memorandum of Understanding. UW Parkside and the Parks Division are working to finalize an MOU for approximately 139 acres of natural areas located on UW Parkside property adjacent to Pets. The MOU will establish the framework for the county and Parkside to work collaboratively to enhance public access and recreational activities for the general public, including mountain bike trails, multi-use trails, natural area management, educational opportunities, and the Pike River restoration activities. So when the negotiations conclude, the MOU will be brought to the committee and the board for review and request for approvals. So that's going smoothly.
Did the memorandum of understanding, was that initiated by Parkside again or us?
That was more on our side, okay. But it's mutual because, well, I shouldn't say it was just on us. They actually originally came to us with the challenges of the mountain bike issues. And it's one of those things that you can keep on trying to block off these mountain bike trails and get rid of their structures, or you can find the right people, like we did with Silver Lake Park, to truly build a sustainable mountain bike trail system. And since we had that experience, we started to talk about these synergies where they got a lot of stuff with their education, and they have the research and their faculty that can come into these natural areas and come up with these comprehensive plans. And the county is really good at doing things. So then we take that stuff and we take it a step further to create a volunteer network to actually maintain a sustainable mountain bike trail. And how can we universally create a multi-use hiking trail on top of that? So it's kind of just using each other's strengths in order to better look for more public use out of this area instead of trying to keep on fighting the public when they want to get in there.
And will any of your previous trails extend into this area during the winter months?
As far as our pets trails?
No, the the cross-country ski as an example.
No, those are basically separate along County Highway JR. So this area is on the other side of County Highway JR where we put in that brand new park, or I shouldn't say brand new, but we enhanced that parking lot right adjacent to Pets Park. So there's going to be a network of trails that basically meander along that Pike River corridor. So where our property ends, that's going to continue, and it goes till Wood Road on that other side.
So primarily just hiking and bicycling and nothing during the winter?
I'm sure that the trails will stay open, but they're not. It's pretty preliminary as far as volunteers and things go, so who knows? It would be great, but I just can't answer that until we know that the volunteers are going to do it.
Thank you.
Anything else, man?
No, that'll be it.
Okay. Thank you. Great.
Try to wind things up because I don't want to reiterate too much from what everybody's already talked about, but is everybody aware that we've got quite a few highway projects going on? In addition to that, there's some potential new developments that are going to happen in the community. In addition to that, there's quite a bit of changes on the operations side of things in highways as well as we reorganize the supervisory staff. It's going very well. I think that the way we've responded to the snow events this year, given some of the changes we made, is a testament to that it's starting to go well. But there's still a lot of things that are in play. So there's a lot going on in highways and facilities. Most all the projects are moving forward. We're in pretty good shape everywhere in facilities from both a budget and scheduling standpoint. Operations, Mike continues to pursue continuous improvement initiatives in a number of areas in his shop. Parks projects are moving forward, but will require an extra effort so that they remain in budget and all quality work standards are maintained. With retirement of a second 40-plus year superintendent in a two-year time frame coming in April, Parks will continue to be tasked with rebuilding the operations there as well. The first phase of that on the West End with Garrett and now John being added. Sounds like we've got a good base established there. We're going to have to create that same kind of situation on the East End. So it's going to be the next few years are going to be, there'll be plenty going on. In golf, with the caliber of the new Pets course superintendent, we really have high expectations. It was amazing. They got like 30 resumes in, but they had six guys, and they were from, there's a couple from Black Wolf, all assistants looking to move up because, you know, the head job is filled by a relatively young person. They want to get their own shot. I believe there was somebody from Whistling Straits. There was somebody from the Sands, the new course up in the mid part of the state. There was somebody from Geneva National. A really tough decision, but it was a good, tough decision. Public safety communications, we finally secured FCC approval just last week to switch the existing county fire to the new frequency. So we're meeting this Thursday actually to refine that final implementation plan for that piece. That's kind of the precursor to the whole simulcast system, is moving county fire to that new frequency. We got the bid on the street for the two new towers that went out 2 weeks ago. We actually have the pre-bid walkthrough with potential contractors Wednesday for the two new towers. Close to finalizing a contract with Baycom Motorola for the simulcast system, the actual radio equipment. Working to finalize a floor plan for the UW Extension P&D co-location. Hopefully by the end of the month we'll have that ready to go and get some construction documents prepared so we can get that going yet this year too. So there's plenty going on. There's no rest for the wicked in public works, but it's a good thing.
I do have a question. Where W hits Highway 50, it looks like their gas line is going in there.
So it's all part of that Spring Valley, Lake Geneva, it's actually all part of the electrical project.
Okay.
I believe there is a component, I don't think it's gas utility, but it's some underground electric. Yeah, there's still directionally, there's directional boring going on as well as the stuff going up above.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's...
Well, it might be because it's really wet over there.
Yeah, so that it's dangerous the way they've got this set up. Cause
that's just might be underground. Electric going through that
yep.
pipe then.
Okay.
Yep. So, when you say dangerous, up to the traffic or?
Yeah, because it basically at the bridge they put the barrels out every morning, so it's one lane.
Oh right? Yes.
And so then people there hasn't been any issues because I think everybody's aware of kind of it's pretty clunky there, so people are more cautious. But it does it's added a new dynamic to an already kind of.
Yeah, it
starts all the way from Highway 12.
Right, but right now this is where the action is. They've got most of the poles and most of the electrical work is already done west of there now. They've really moved fast.
I was surprised how fast.
They've really moved fast.
So do you see any contact with you?
I don't know if there's anything they can do, Clement. Yeah, I don't know.
You can take a look because they've got it one lane both ways for sometimes.
Yeah.
The good thing is it's all the way from the railroad overpass and it's straight, you can see.
Yeah. Yes.
So people are kind of aware of it.
Yeah.
Coming the other way, coming from 83, they sometimes have been popping into one lane. Then you've got that flashing thing for W.
Right.
People really get all boxed up there. So
it's different.
You might want to look.
Yeah, probably just have them look at it, review ATC's traffic control plan for that area to see if there's something that could be done a little better.
The river screws it up.
Yeah,
sure does.
So, I just want to be clear. Frank works for facilities, and Mike works for facilities, right?
Right.
But Mike manages operations. But yet they both work on projects, and one's called facilities projects, and the other one's called facilities operations.
Yeah. So Mike is really the operations guy, and he tends to do, there's still projects there. But But they tend to be smaller projects, whereas... The projects that Frank does are the larger scale. So like courthouse exterior renovation, the K-cab renovation, all the larger projects. I try to make it so that he takes all the big projects and the smaller ones, although Mike likes to grab them because he never feels he's busy enough. Even
you know
though
Mike
he's
sitting right there. Right?
I know he is. And we just had this conversation last week. So he knows exactly because he does a hell of a job because of the operations side is still the main focus. But he likes these little projects, and he's got guys on his team that like to get involved in those little projects, and it does keep their skill level high. Then, so
well,
in our industry,
he's talking about what was it the
air pumps,
the chiller, and you guys are internal
pumps
and balance or whatever it was.
Right,
this is a perfect example.
Matt will want to dig into that, so that it's a kid in a candy store. Plus, it's a chance for him to up his skill levels. We save some money, and now we have that skill in our portfolio. We can use it on other projects. So we balance it. Him and Frank meet every Tuesday morning, and they go over and they coordinate everything. Every Tuesday morning, I think at 8 o'clock, you guys meet. And so it's a pretty intimate kind of thing.
So part of your time is just day-to-day operations with some of these projects getting tossed in.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
And
what should you adjourn?
I'm controlling all the staff.
Yeah. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. Second by Susan Ryan to the All those in favor?
Aye.